The Giants, they lost 30-7 to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who had been 4-6 coming into the game. You would have thought they were playing a Super Bowl champ, but no, they played a losing team and instead got their doors blown off. To talk about the New York Giants and to maybe, just maybe, maybe make you laugh, we bring in friend of the program, Jeff Pilgrim, better known on social as Hefe and the maker of the Hefe video series for Giants fans. Welcome to the program, Hefe.
Lori, great to talk to you again. Thanks for having me back.
I'm kind of in the where do you even want to start? I guess maybe the first one I'll toss out to you is, what made you want to vomit more? The Giants with the total no-show versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers today, or Saquon Barkley with over 300 yards in total offense for the Eagles tonight?
Oh, my God. I mean, the Giants have been making me vomit every week, so I was used to that. But seeing Saquon do what he did was kind of like just a kick in the face the next morning, or like having to get up and go do something the next morning when you're thrown up all night. Like, it was just, what the hits just keep on coming. It just keeps getting better for us. What can I say?
So, all right, next question. On a scale of, you tell me the scale, but how would you rate, Brian Daboll had said that Tommy DeVito was going to come in and bring a spark. He was looking for a spark. How much of a spark did Tommy DeVito bring today?
Oh, big spark. Big spark. That first half offense was electric. We had double-digit passing yards, so I don't know what everyone is complaining about. That was sad. That was a sad outing. And I think, they adjusted, too. They were coming after him. Illuminor goes down. We couldn't protect him, but like this was worse than the Daniel Jones Giants.
Yeah.
But I mean, there are like Daniel Jones defenders who are saying, "Well, oh, see, it wasn't Daniel," and like that's not the point. The point is that like this was a horrendous quarterback room, and then they told us it was a football decision to bench Daniel Jones. Obviously, it wasn't. And then you bypass the backup quarterback. It was just a clown show going on, and they lied. They lied to us. And then they look even worse when it doesn't work out. It's just such a mess right now. So I don't blame you being like, where do you even start?
Yeah. Where do you with all of this? And we'll get into, has Daboll lost the locker room and all the questions on the post game and some of those other issues in a moment. But another one in the series of just encapsulating things here is, I'm sure you saw Malik Nabers after the game. You probably missed him in the first half. You might have thought maybe he took a bathroom break and wasn't on the field because the Giants did not throw the ball to their best offensive player at all in the first half. And obviously, in a very big surprise, a young rookie wide receiver was frustrated by this. So I'm sure you remember this, but I don't know. I'm watching Nabers, and I'm seeing him in the post-game press conference and how frustrated he's getting about not getting the ball enough and about all this losing. And so I want to know, how close do you think Malik Nabers is to getting into a fight with a kicking net?
Oh, God.
Because I see shades of Odell Beckham Jr. here. The problem is, see, OBJ at least had, we'll always have Paris. Like, Odell Beckham Jr. had the rookie year with Eli Manning and the great catch, the best catch ever, against the Cowboys in prime time and all of that. So at least he had that before things started to sour and the losing and and then the next thing he's getting into a fight with a kicking net. Malik Nabers, this rookie year, he just already seems unhappy to me.
Oh, he's miserable. This is, if you go back to like when he was drafted, there was a lot made about his reaction and how he almost didn't have a reaction. He was kind of like, damn it, like, send me somewhere with a quarterback. So he kind of had that vibe from the beginning. But even during the interview process, Dave asked him, how are you going to handle if things don't go well, if you're not getting the ball. He asked him this exact question. He said, I'm not going to handle it well. And this is, but like, that's the kind of guy I want in the Giants. Give me some winners. He's a dog. It seems like a lifetime ago that he was lighting it up in the first, you know, 3 or 4 weeks of the season. Like, that seems like such a distant memory to us now. But this is the kind of guy that they purposely went out and got, a guy who's a difference maker like that. But, I mean, in terms of losing the locker room, when I mean, he basically said, go talk to – I mean, literally said, go talk to Dave. Just, I mean, it doesn't get – we don't have to wonder if he lost the locker room. The guys are just throwing the coach under the bus at this point. So it's over. It's salty. It's gone. I mean –
Yeah, here's three comments in terms of losing. Usually it's when we get to the point in the season where you say, has the head coach lost the locker room or not? It's usually one of those questions you can debate a little more. There's usually a little more finesse. You're not sure. But today's post-game comments, we had two guys, including the captain and by far best player on the team in Dexter Lawrence, call the team soft. And then we had Malik Nabers, the rookie, best offensive player, also call the team soft and question why he didn't get the football. And when asked about it, said, talk to Dabes, like ask the head coach.
Oh my God.
Then on top of that, you had, I don't know if you saw, Illuminor, offensive lineman who got hurt during the game, but he said, I don't think guys are given 100%. All of that, isn't that an indictment of the head coach?
100%. This is exactly, you know, what the conversation was, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago is, you know, Dable could keep his job if he keeps the locker room together. Well, first, how do you keep a locker room together when you're 2-9 and you're just going straight downhill? The way they handled the quarterback thing was just awful. And like the team knows who the best quarterback is in a bad quarterback room. They know who it is. And you just sent that guy, you just cut that guy.
On how they handled the quarterback situation, do you think that Brian Dable called Ben McAdoo and asked him, how should I handle the benching of a starting quarterback?
That would have been a great place to start. Yeah. But, I mean, I feel like the question was, you know, Mara doesn't want to fire these guys, doesn't want to start over. He would have to be really embarrassed, and Dable would have to lose the locker room. Well, I think Saquon kind of put the cherry on top tonight. This is as embarrassing as it gets if you're John Mara, who publicly said, I'm going to lose sleep if Saquon goes to the Eagles. And then Joe Shane, with a smile, let him go to the Eagles, where he might be MVP right now. Just unbelievable series of events.
I hate to put another nightmare scenario thought in your head, but
what's one more? Go ahead.
Here's one more. I was sitting here going through all the places where, so it's officially Monday, and today, this afternoon at 4 p.m., Daniel Jones, your Daniel, will become, look, he was my Daniel for a while too. I was on that apologist bandwagon with you and you know, all your gang there, Jefe. And I, except Jefe, all of us were, I was on the bandwagon too. But I sat there thinking about, where is Daniel Jones going? And at least one possibility, we know he wants to go to a contender, and at least one possibility has to be the Philadelphia Eagles. Because about it, I know, but right now the Eagles, their backup quarterback is Kenny Pickett. And say what you want about Daniel Jones, but if I said to you, all right, it's the second half of a playoff game, and somebody has to come in as backup quarterback. And look, not only does Howie Roseman get to give another middle finger to the Giants in doing that, but wouldn't Daniel Jones be... Daniel actually won a playoff game. Kenny Pickett has been, you know, was awful and didn't even... has actually never started a playoff game. And Daniel Jones' style as a running quarterback would be closer to the offense that they're running with Jalen Hurts. So I'm just saying, nightmare scenario. He joins his buddy Saquon, and we see Daniel Jones laughing it up on the sidelines with the Eagles.
Oh, my God. I mean, I don't know. I could see a handful of teams, you know, making the call, and Howie Roseman might just do it to do it.
Yeah, like, just for fun.
Yeah, just for fun, because he can, because he has that. He has that freedom now. That would be. I know Saquon would. I guess we would find out if Saquon was like apparently very good friends with Daniel and always supported him along the way. So that's a spot where, I mean, Jalen Hurts, he makes a few throws here and there, but like he hands the ball off a lot.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, that offensive line. By the way, Daniel Jones behind that offensive line throwing to AJ. I'm not saying he's a world beater, but that offensive line, Kellen Moore calling the plays. You get to hand off to Saquon again and throw to AJ Brown and Devontae Smith. He would look better than.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, that's Jalen Hurts has had a pretty close to ideal situation with the Eagles, with that offensive line, the weapons. Their roster in 2022, I thought, was easily the best in football, and they just ran into Patrick Mahomes. But I think they have been close. Saquon puts them over the edge. But Daniel is a backup there, a guy who could still do that read option for you. He could still get you yards on the ground, and he probably wouldn't have to do too much in terms of throwing the ball. Like, I could see that as being one of the spots. Like, I could see San Fran being another, maybe Baltimore.
I think San Francisco makes a lot of sense. There are going to be a number of places calling and wanting Daniel Jones's services as a backup quarterback this season to upgrade. And then if you're Daniel, I think you go someplace as a backup next season and you reset your mechanics, you learn, you rebuild confidence, and you come back. You hope to kind of do what Sam Darnold is doing, find a situation and have a chapter two. All right, so what, where do the Giants go from here at this point? If you're John Mara, if you were counseling John Mara, what would you say?
I would say so much, but I would say don't even think about offering a medium Pepsi to fans again. They're gonna need more than that this time around. But I really believe, and I was holding out hope for Daboll. I was on the fence with Joe Shane coming into this year. I'm obviously just way out on Joe Shane. I think he's over his head. I didn't like what I saw in Hard Knocks at all. I didn't see a guy that looks confident in that he knows what he's doing. I think he's been trying to figure it out. And I think the Daniel Jones contract ultimately defined his tenure here. Every move he made after that was almost to support that decision because it was such a big decision. And if he, you know, as a young GM, if you make that call, give DJ that money, and then immediately pivot, well, then it's like, well, what the hell did you give him that contract for? So, like, he couldn't do that. So I felt like he was kind of trying to cover his butt by giving out that contract, the injury clause, which ultimately, like, caused this crap storm to take a whole new level because of how they had to, like, bench DJ and then get rid of him. I think he made his bed, and I think he's in over his head, and I think Daboll is going to be. I thought I was holding out hope for Daboll, but at this point, seeing how the organization is going, you're not going to fire the GM and keep the head coach. So I think, honestly, a fresh start, even though it's not what Mara wanted to do. But I mean, this is as bad as it gets. This is a complete embarrassment. We're the worst team in the league. So why are you holding out hope for guys just to hope that they could do a better job? Find somebody who maybe has done it before, maybe somebody who's got a. There are coaches out there that you could take a look at and say, like what Ben Johnson's doing in Detroit. Mm-hmm. There are guys doing really, really good things that you could have reason to believe they could be a good head coach for you. But I think it's worth a restart because you go get a rookie quarterback now, and then it's very rare that they have success right away. So then you're going to, fire them after a rookie's first season? And then, like, that's even worse. Just do a fresh restart where you get a quarterback. You do this rebuild the right way. You trade big pieces if you have to. Tear the thing down and do it right, which should have been done 3 years ago.
All right. Describe the videos for people who have not been watching them and tell them where to find them.
Thank you. So I am Jefe Pill on all the social media. So it's J-E-F-E-P-I-L. I am also one third of New York Revival. We do a sports and entertainment show live every Tuesday night. We have a lot of fun. We just put a fun spin on New York sports in general, but we're all big, big Giants fan, so that's a good follow too. But the videos, I've been doing these for about 3 years now. I play different Giants fans in the video, and you mentioned Chef A before, which probably was weird to hear for anybody who hasn't been watching the videos, but he is the miserable Giants fan who turns out was right all along.
I thought he was over the top and reactionary, and it turns out, yeah, dead on.
Yeah, and so, like, I've you know, such a big community on Giants Twitter, and I've made a lot of good friends, and I'm always observing all the conversations, the Twitter spaces, and everything going on to get all the viewpoints from the Giants fan base. And then I, you know, insert those different opinions into these, like, four or five different characters so that the whole fan base is kind of covered in these videos. So I think that's why people relate to them, is because you're one of those fans or a combination of them. And then I just put my sense of humor into it, into these 2-minute sketches. And I do them most weeks. And it's a lot of fun at the end of the day. I still really enjoy doing them. So it's been going well. So I'll keep it up.
Yeah. I did also enjoy the ones where Giants fans looking around at the, you know, at the Knicks fans and the Mets fans and the Yankee fans, and, like, at this point, some of these other teams having success, and at this point, they're all just sort of laughing at and mocking the Giants fans.
That's been a lot of fun. Like, now there's only one Giants fan in those kind of videos, and I'm expanding to all the other New York sports teams. Because I don't want to just do the same sketch every week for the rest of my life. I want to, you know, I want to, like, try other things. But that one's been a lot of fun, and a lot of people said it feels like the intro to a sitcom, like in the 90s, like if the ones where I just do music and they're just interacting with each other, like making fun of each other or whatever. Like, it's just endless possibilities, because I'm only relying on myself, and I can't imagine how crazy I look to my neighbors, but it is what it is at this point.
All right. Jefe, Jeff Pilgrim, appreciate the time. Watch the videos, Giants fans. If you could use a laugh, it will, and as Jeff said, there is a fan somewhere in there that you will identify with. Jeff, thanks for the time. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks so much, Lori. Take care.